healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. God bless his word. Earlier this year, the New York State Senate passed a bill that says, I'm going to read the text of the bill. Every individual who becomes pregnant has the fundamental right to choose to carry the pregnancy to term, to give birth to a child, or to have an abortion, pursuant to this article. To have an abortion to term. Look at this. This is an example of how government can be far from Christian values. This is a total anti-Christian law. For scripture says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." Psalm 139, 13 through 16. So God knew us while we were in our mother's womb. He saw us as individuals. He knew us. How could we, as true Christians, agree with abortion after reading this psalm? How can we agree with that? Impossible. However, if we go back in history, we will see more than anti-Christian laws. We will see several governments using their resources to oppose and persecute the Church of Jesus. For instance, the Soviet Union used public money and its troops to destroy churches and kill believers during the communist regime. The Soviet government passed bills to tax Orthodox Church priests to more than 100% of their income. The Soviets used liberal theology's biblical criticism and propaganda to confuse the believers' minds. And there is a quotation from a letter sent to Stalin saying, "Let's use materials from Tübingen University," because they wrote liberal books, liberal theology books. Look at that. According to the Library of Congress internet portal, I will quote them, "Nearly all of its clergy and many of its believers were shot or sent to labor camps. Theological schools were closed and church publications were prohibited. By 1939, only about 500 of over 50,000 churches remained open in Soviet Union. Even now, the government in North Korea funds persecution and the demolition of places of worship. Believers have been arrested and sent to labor camps. Most of them die there. Iran condemns and kills people just because they convert to Christianity. Hundreds of believers have been killed without letting the West know this. China recently started the process of Sinicization of Christianity. I'm going to explain that. According to Acton Institute, by Sinicization, it meant two things. The first is a question of raw politics, to ensure any religious organization is completely under the communist regime's control. The second is to make Christianity conform to Chinese culture. And Chinese culture, it appears, is whatever the Chinese government says it is at any given time. The government in China wants to rewrite the Bible and to reformulate the Ten Commandments because the government wants to be worshipped as God. China is now demolishing church buildings and replacing the cross of Jesus with posters of its supreme leader. These examples of how governments use their resources to persecute the church are described in Revelation 13, 1 through 10, when John had the vision of the beast that rose up out of the sea. Last week, Revelation 12 showed the persecution of the church by Satan. Satan, represented by the dragon, tried to prevent the sun from coming to the world. Satan was defeated by the archangel Michael and cast down from heaven. That is, he lost all power of an accuser, as an accuser of the elect people of God. Then, furious, he went after the church, represented by the woman, to make war against her. However, God protected his people. Praise the Lord. Even more angry against the church, Satan decided to tighten his persecution. And he fought against the rest of the woman's offspring. For this, he stands before the sea on the sand. Satan will summon his allies. So we're going to see this morning. The opposition by governments. This is about this is what Revelation 13 is speaking about. Opposition by governments. Opposition against the church of Jesus Christ. The dragon is standing where sea and land meet. He will summon two beasts to his aid against the church. One that rose up out of the sea, and another coming up out of the earth. The first was horrible looking. The second was seemingly harmless. According to Hendrickson, the first is Satan's hand, and the second is the devil's mind. Now, I will focus on the first beast. John sees a beast emerging from the sea. John sees an amazing monster with an awesome horror. First, he sees a beast seven heads with 10 horns and 10 crowns on them. There are blasphemous names over the seven heads. Then the rest of the terrible animal appears. It has a body like a leopard, big, fierce, ready to destroy and subdue his prey. The feet are like the feet of a bear, and the mouth like a lion's mouth. This is a description of this beast. this animal receives power and authority from the dragon. And the scene becomes even more horrifying because John sees one of the heads of the beast being cut off. It's a terrible mortal attack. But it is reversed. The tremendously wounded head is healed. As a consequence, the whole earth is amazed and perplexed. The entire world follows and adores the beast. And the whole world also adores the dragon. After all, the dragon gives authority to the beast. They said, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And the beast speaks with arrogance and ostentation. He blasphemes against God and slanders the tabernacle, that is, all those who live in heaven. This is important. So the tabernacle mentioned here are the believers in whom God dwells. They are God's tabernacle. If the beast slanders those who are in heaven, what would he do against those who are in the earth? Verses 7 and 8 have the answer. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. What does this all mean? The sea represents the nations and their rulers. In Isaiah 17:12, we read, "Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like a rushing of mighty waters." So the sea are the nations and their rulers, you see? Moreover, Revelation 17:15 says that the waters of the sea are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The beast that rises from the sea represents worldly governments and their rulers who stand opposed to the church. They work as powerful allies of Satan. Hendrickson also wrote, "The seaborne beast symbolized the persecuting power of Satan embodied in all the nations and governments of the world throughout all history." And look at this, world dominion directed against God's people, whatever and whenever it appears in history, that is the beast. This beast has 10 horns. That is, the completeness of power and authority. We can easily recognize the resemblance between the beast and the dragon. Both have 10 horns and 7 heads. The difference is that the crowns are on the heads of the dragon. But in the beast, the crowns are on the horns. There is a slightly difference. It means that the dragon has a pretense authority, a pretense of authority, and Satan is the beast's boss. This is the difference. Anti-Christian governments and rulers are at the service of the devil. They have the diadems, they rule, but with cruelty and violence. It's a crown of violence. These earthly authorities who blaspheme against God receive inspiration from Satan. There are 7 heads because they are different forms. Babylon, Media and Persia, Greece and Macedonia, Roman Empire. Remember how these powers altogether brought affliction to the people of God. In the light of Daniel 7:4-7, we can see how terrible the opposition of the beast is. Daniel saw 4 beasts described as follows. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. You see? Revelation 13, 2 has a relationship with this passage in Daniel 7. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Did you see? Leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. And again, Daniel 7 speaks of this. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. In Daniel 7, the prophet saw 4 beasts who represented 4 kingdoms. But here, the 4 beasts are combined into 1 beast. They are combined into 1 beast. That's because the beast of the sea represents not just one, but all empires which fought against the church. So the difference between Daniel and Revelation 13 is this. In Revelation, in Daniel 7, you see 4 beasts because it represents 4 different nations. But now you see 1 beast with the characteristics of all of them all together, because it represents all anti-Christian governments in all history. The deadly attack in verse 3 means when an empire falls as a persecutor, another one raises up with full force against the church. The cut-off head is Rome of the days of the apostle. Nero harshly persecuted the church. He killed Paul and Peter. He set fire to Rome and accused the Christians. Some were crucified. Others were devoured by lions. Others covered with pitch and oil and burned like torches of illumination in squares and streets. In 68 AD, the head was cut off. The mortal attack. Nero killed himself. However, just over 20 years later, Rome resumed an even more terrifying persecution under Domitian. In John's day, when he was in Patmos, Domitian was worshipped as God. The apostle witnessed all peoples in the earth astonished and perplexed, worshipping the beast. John was seeing this description in his days, and we can see this today. How people worship governments. Praise the Lord, for our president said that we don't worship state, we worship God. This is good. But we see that governments, even a state government or representatives in the House just passing bills against the interests of the nation, of Christianity, anti-Christian laws. This is bad. They are trying to push the church back. The state of New York passed a bill to kill babies up to 9 months of pregnancy. Look at this. This is the anti-Christian law. Absolutely. Then in verses 5 through 8, we see the reason why the beast fights against the church. Because the beast hates the church, the Lord's church. And because he hates the church's Lord. The beast hates God, hates Jesus. And then they persecute the church because the church loves Jesus and the church loves God. The Bible tells us, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemes, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Verse 5. First, the beast was given a blasphemous mouth to use for 42 months. Notice that everything is under God's control. So these 42 months means that they have a beginning and the end. You know, it's a short period of time. It's a short time. So those nations described in Daniel, they were raised up and then they rose up. I don't know how to say that. I'm sorry. They were lifted up and they fell. Later, a couple of years later, you know. Even the Roman Empire was a very long empire, but they finished. One day they were done and gone, you see. Dictators come and go. This is 42 months, okay. Praise the Lord for those regimes against the church are short. God brings them in His providence, but God sends them to hell. And this is amazing. Praise the Lord. So everything is under God's control. He limited the time of action of the beast for a short period, 42 months. And look at that. 42 months contrast 1,000 years of Jesus' kingdom in Revelation 20. According to Samuel 7:16, Jesus' throne is forever. The anti-Christian governors will be in charge for a short term. But Jesus' kingdom is everlasting kingdom. Praise the Lord. The text says that the worldly governors would blaspheme against God. Think of totalitarian governments and dictators. They are always grounded in, on arrogance and blasphemy against God and against those who live in heaven with Jesus Christ. They hate God and they hate His people. In verse 5, a mouth speaking blasphemies was given to the beast. And here in verse 6, we can see the blasphemous mouth in action. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. God's tabernacle is his church, his sanctuary. This text is speaking of what we see every day. People of God have been accused of being misogynous, racists, prejudiced, or bigots. Not only those who are part of the militant church, but also those who are part of the triumphant church. Those who dwell, and literally it's to tabernacle. So tabernacle is a verb, to tabernacle. So they tabernacle in heaven. They dwell in heaven. What did they do to be called like that? Nothing wrong. They just obeyed God's commandments and Christ and considered the Bible as more precious than gold. They did this. They loved Jesus with their soul. That's why they have been slandered. And following this, verse 7 shows why Satan called the beast. God in His sovereignty allowed Satan to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This verse describes the same situation described in Revelation 11, 7. When they finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So the two witnesses represent the church of the Old and New Testaments altogether. So Revelation 11 says that the two witnesses were killed. And here we see the same. It was given to the beast to make war against the church and to overcome the church of Jesus Christ. So, as the death of the two witnesses represent the church losing her ability to bear witness of Jesus, Satan's strategy in this war is quite simple. Destruction of the church as a powerful and influential missionary organization. He wants to stop the church from, to prevent the church from bearing the witness. To prevent the church from sharing the gospel. Satan seized the opportunity and often uses the anti-Christian governments as instruments to minimize the power of the church of Jesus as witness. Look around. You'll see churches in the United States that support abortion with their money. Churches. You'll see churches that once condemned evilness and rebellion, but today encourage sexual immorality. Satan overcame them. They are no longer a powerful missionary organization. They have no prophetic voice, for they yielded to worldly appeals. In verse 7 and 8, we see the global aspect of the sphere of influence of the beast. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here, we can see a contrast. On one hand, those who dwell on the earth will worship the beast. On the other hand, those who are the spiritual tabernacle of God and those who tabernacle in heaven will worship God and God alone. The worshippers of the beast will be destroyed in the earth. Those whose names are written in the book of life will be exalted in heaven. Look at the contrast. They will see Jesus face to face. Praise the Lord. Still, God will always keep his faithful remnant. None of those whose names were written in the book of life will worship the beast. And this is a sign that they are elect people of God. God chose his people from eternity for salvation and not for eternal damnation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." So they were predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and not to worship the beast. So, don't worry. God is our defender. And even if they arrest us because we are believers, their experience with a prison will be worse. If they lead us into captivity, they will be led into captivity, says the word of God. If they slain us by the sword, we shall have God as the avenger. God will put the sword of his judgment on their necks, and he won't have mercy when he decides to glorify his justice. Let's keep our faithfulness to the word of God. Let's be part of the minority. If the majority is yielded to the power of Satan. Augustine of Hippo said, right is right, even if no one is doing it. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it. Amen.